turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. As you're finding that, I told the story last week of the man who had converted from Islam to being a follower of Christ after dreams and after searching out Scripture. After coming to Christ, he had given his life to smuggling Bibles into his country and sharing his faith with others. He had been jailed, starved, beaten, and left for dead. He had led his wife and his kids to Christ. What he had not done was include them in his work. And that changed when he was asked if Jesus was worth it. He knew Jesus was worth it. This morning, do you know Jesus is worth it? The man began using his wife and family in his work because he knew the time was now. Peter is writing to people who had been scattered abroad because of their faith. He writes to tell them that the time is now. The time is now for them to make disciples. And they were to live their lives in such a way that others would be able to see Jesus in them. And the time is now for us to do the same. The time is now for us to make disciples. We are to live in such a way that others see Jesus in us. What will it take? What will it take? It will take us living out our professed faith in total commitment. The time is now. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 13. Peter writes, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who is impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this was the word which was preached to you." The time is now. The time is now for you to fix your hope on what Christ has done. How you live your life should be based on what God has done for you in Christ. Every decision that you make should reflect the fact that Jesus Christ, by the profession of your mouth, if you've made that profession, every choice you make should reflect the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. We are to do this because of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Peter reaches back into the first 12 verses when he says and exhorts you to live a godly life. He says, "Therefore, God has caused you to be born to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." A living hope. He gives you that to hang on to. When I think about the word hope, I love that word. And I have to think about what I did as a kid growing up. I have done my share of water skiing, believe it or not. Probably couldn't do it today. I think I could. But I have done my share. Let me tell you, when you're sitting out there in the water and you got those skis on and you think, man, I'm going to be able to slide across the surface of this water, the only way to do that is for the power of the boat to be connected to you through the rope and for you to hang on to that rope. Rope and hope. Rope and hope. The power is in Christ. The hope that we have to hang on to. And that's what Peter is saying to us. Hold on to that. Hold on to that living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then he says that you have an inheritance that is untouchable. A salvation that is great. And his grace provides all of this and more. It is by grace that we are saved. It is not because of what we have done. It is because that he has pursued us and given us Jesus Christ. Now you are to live your life as a response to his grace. Fix your hope on Christ through disciplined thinking. Disciplined thinking. He says, get your mind ready, which requires effort. It requires concentration. It requires being intentional. How many things did you do this week that you said this time last week, if I get around to it, when I get around to it, you didn't do any of it. Because if we say we're going to get around to it, we never get around to it. That's how we are as humans. We find something else to do. Something else to distract us. And Peter is challenging us to be intentional. Intentional. Then he says, be sober. Be self-controlled. Don't become dull to the reality of God by being anesthetized by the things of the world. Be intentional. Fix your hope on what Christ has done. There was a movie that came out some years back called Master and Commander. A man on board the ship, it was set during the Napoleonic Wars. There was a man on board the ship that needed surgery or he would die. He had been accidentally shot in the stomach and the condition went from bad to worse. If the shot was not removed, not only was the cannonball, or not the cannonball, but the shot, the ball from the pistol, not only was that inside his body, but his shirt that went in with it was inside his body. And he knew that that had to go out. The problem was that the patient was the ship's doctor. He was up a creek, as we would say. He was the only one who had done the training. He was the only one who had gained the experience to do surgery. He told his assistant to prepare for surgery. So the assistant pulls out all these books and begins to study the procedure. Would you want that guy to touch you? No. And that's what the doctor decided. And so using a mirror, he operated on himself. He decided it was better to depend on someone who had done the work of training. This morning, on what or on whom are you depending? On what or on whom are you depending? Listen to yourself talk this week. How often do you find yourself using the words I, me, mine during the day? If I have a problem, I have this to take care of it. If something comes up, I will be able to do this. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself, especially when you talk about every tomorrow that God may give you. When these words dominate our thinking and conversation, that should be a warning sign to us that we are being driven by a self-centered pride and fear. Will you depend on what you can do, what you can make happen, what you can solve? Or will you depend on the work of Christ? Where is your hope? Is your hope in being a good person? Is your hope in at least being a better person than me? And so if that's the case, then you're in pretty good shape, but that's not the problem. Where is your hope? Is your hope on the grace that God is extending through Jesus Christ our Lord? How works-oriented are you? Listen to yourself. I challenge you this week. Make observations of your thought. Are you living a life of total commitment? Are you living a godly life? Are you a growing follower of Christ? It is time. The time is now. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to give you one last Heart Attacks Sunday story. It's the last one I'm ever going to tell publicly. I remember as a kid playing what we used to call army in the backyard. There was neighbors around, and there might be 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 of us, and we would, you know, choose up sides and sneak around the neighborhood and shoot at each other. Pow, pow, you're dead. Well, I was probably one of the youngest ones, and I remember one time laying in our backyard as the rest of the gang fought out the battle, and I remember thinking, I wonder what it's going to be like to die. Well, that Sunday, as I was being rolled out to the helicopter, I thought, well, this might be the day. I'm going to find out what it's like to die. First thing I thought when I thought that was I'm not afraid to die. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I had no worry about that at all. I also thought of Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in doctors and nurses for healing, but ultimately I trust in Him. The one thought about my family was that I didn't want my grandkids to grow up without knowing me. I remember reading John Piper's book, Desiring God, and the thesis, the whole purpose of the book, what he writes about is the. And he starts out the book with the creed that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so Piper asks the question, what will make you happy? What will make you happy? I remember sitting in my office thinking and praying after reading that question, and it came down to this. At that point, I wanted to have at least 34 years living and loving my wife. I wanted 10 grandkids, whether they be naturally born, legally adopted, or just relationally adopted. I don't care. And I want to be at their wedding to see them marry a godly young man or young woman and to be able to bless them as I did their parents. And so I will continue to fix my hope on Christ, on what Christ has done. The time is now. This time is now for you to pursue holiness. Holiness. How you live your life should be based on the holiness of Christ. Peter's challenge is to be holy. Not sometime, not when you're older, not when you've done all the world has to offer, but now. He is challenging us. He is calling us to be holy now. I don't care if you're 18 or 88. I don't care if what age you are, what station in life you are. You are to live a life of holiness now. The Christian life is not passive. Don't be conformed, Peter says, to the lust of the world, to ungodly desires. All that the world says about life and how to live it should not be the deciding, governing authority in our life. But if you fill your life with media, guess what you're going to start thinking like? Because whatever you fill your mind with, that's what's going to control how you think. And everything is pushing this world, the world that you and I live in, away from Christ. And we are to be intentional about how we live. We are to live for Christ. The pattern for life is holiness, for holiness is God Himself. We are to conform our lives to Him. So do God's will as obedient children. Set yourself apart from evil. Pursue holiness. My first experience driving a vehicle was in the wheat fields of my grandparents. I remember being up there one time with, and it was probably, I don't know, January, it may have been Christmas break. And I was outside with my grandfather, and we were going around the wheat field repairing the fence. Because the wheat was getting to the point, it was about time to turn the cattle in on it. And so we were out there, and I was, you know, all of 10 or 11 or 12 years old, and I'm driving the pickup. Well, what happened one time was is that we got out there, and I got the truck stuck in the dirt. And you know, no matter how fast I revved that engine, I did not get out. And finally he said, "Robert, back up and go a different direction." And do you know that I got the truck out? And sometimes that's what we have to do in life, that we have to take a different course. For us, the course is a course of holiness, Christ-likeness. That is what we are to pursue. That is what we are to be about. This morning, are you pursuing holiness? I'm not saying, are you pursuing, I'm not asking you, are you pursuing churchianity? I'm asking you, are you pursuing Christ? You say, "Well, I don't know. If you don't know, it's your fault. He has given us what we are to look and live towards. Are you pursuing Christ? If you are not pursuing Christ, how can you expect to make disciples? And we are called to make disciples. Are you still living in the old, the automatic, the fleshly response to temptation? How many questions of what is allowable or what is permissible or what can you get away with would be answered if you were to pursue holiness? Yet we live in a time where we want to justify being so much like the world. Is that the reason that we're not reaching the world, that we're not enough like them? Is that it? Or is it that we're not enough like Christ, that we're not enough different from the world? But they look at our lives and there's no real difference. You know, we're coming up on that magical day next month. It's actually 2 days later this year, April 17th. I have seen statistical studies done about tax returns and other things, behavior things, that say that there's no measurable difference between those who claim to be Christians and those who don't. We all act the same. And that should break our hearts. Because we are to pursue holiness. Holiness. This morning, are you growing in Christ? A guy by the name of Mike Iaconelli, who was co-founder of Youth Specialties and a popular writer and speaker, said, "The church doesn't need renewal, it needs revolution. Until we start thinking in terms of revolution instead of compromise, until we are willing to give up all the cultural presuppositions we have allowed to become the criteria for our thinking and doing, the church will continue to pat itself on the back with token steps of renewal. The time is now. You need to pursue the holiness of Christ. The time is now. The time is now for you to live in reverential fear of God." Peter wraps up this section. How you live your life should show your deep respect and love for God. We are to live our lives differently. He says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. A reverential fear. He will judge your life against His standard. Are you to live in abject terror? No. But neither are you to live with such a casualness toward God. And if living this way puts you at odds against the world, know that you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. This was no afterthought. God decided before history began how He would redeem the world. And He did it. Joseph Stoll, who served as president of Moody Bible College, said this about fearing God. Our evangelical culture tends to make the awesome reality of a transcendent God who is worthy to be feared and downsize Him so He could fit into our buddy system. The way we talk about Him, the way we pray, and more strikingly, the way we live shows that we have somehow lost our sense of being appropriately awestruck in the presence of a holy and all-powerful God. He went on to say this too. If God were to show up visibly, many of us think we'd run up to Him and high-five Him for the good things He has done. Some today in churches want to be seen as progressive, open, non-judgmental, inclusive. Others want to be seen as willing to reinterpret the Bible to issues and embrace innovations from the culture. Would that not be committing suicide? Would that not be for us as a church to be committing suicide? What happens in churches and denominations begins with you, with your attitudes, your beliefs, your fears, what you reverence. Do you reverence the living God who expressed Himself in Jesus Christ? Do you fear God more than you fear the world? Do you fear God more than you fear the culture, those around you? Well, how do you approach God? What's your attitude toward Him? Is it disdain or is it just a kind of a casualness? The only unforgivable sin is to ignore and deny Christ. So what's your attitude this morning about knowing and doing the will of God? Who is it that you do fear? Are you growing in Christ? It's time. It's time. The time is now for us as a church to refocus, recommit to making disciples. We are to proclaim the gospel and we are to teach folks and show folks what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you living a life based on what Christ has done? Are you living a life that matters? Are you making a difference? Are you living life pursuing holiness? The time is now. Pursue holiness. We are to pursue Him. Is your hope, is your life fixed on what Jesus Christ has done? Are you living in a reverential fear of God? Does your life show a deep, profound respect and love for God? The time is now. What will you do?